Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In very clear and explicit terms and words, Allah Ta'ala commands Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to follow Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam. ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِيهِمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Allah Pak says it was a tremendous exemplary way was exemplary. Ibrahim and Islam. So what was the thing that was most exemplary, most outstanding, most conspicuous? The thing that was most conspicuous in him is when he came to a crunch, confrontation, then he took the side of Allah Ta'ala. Hanif actually means literally to move on to one side. So that is why Allah Pak says Millat Ibrahim Hanifa. He was on the side of Allah Ta'ala. Normally they say don't take sides, but in everything you take sides. If you got money, got wealth, then you're spending on everybody else or your wife and children. You come onto the side of your wife and child, right? You got wealth, then first you think of yourself, think of your side, then the other side. You don't think of the other side, and then your side. So in all what you do, you think about yourself first, and the people that are most closely connected to you, you think of them, and then you think of others thereafter. If it is an Umrah trip, you flash around tickets to everybody. And you're so thick with your wife that she doesn't even have to ask you. Say, you're on the trip here. Just give me your passport. You say you want to come. It's a suggestion. No, it's a command. You must come. Join in. Whereas the Umrah will seem to be incomplete without you. So you are so thick on her side that she doesn't even have, you don't have to even consult her. And Allah Pak maafkar hai. People become so thick with their wives, they won't go and advertise that we are taking our wives also with. But if they're taking one of the parents, you know, I'm taking my parents also, you know, one of them. So like such a great thing he did that he took one of his parents. But his wife, well she's, you know, we are one and the same. Your parents, the different one. So the parents is a different thing, and the wife is a different thing. So this Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's a standard. He's an example, an exemplary person. So what was the thing that was most exemplary in him? Say that he took the side of Allah Ta'ala in any situation. That means the love of Allah Ta'ala was overwhelming. First he came to his community and his people, and he showed that I am definitely and entirely on the side of Allah Ta'ala. إِنِّي بَرَاءٌ مِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ بَدَى بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةُ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ. That I got nothing to do with you. And not just physically, but even emotionally. بَدَى بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةُ. I've got a deep-rooted hatred for you. Now, who is he talking to? He's talking to his folks, people of his town, countrymen, right? He's talking to his family, household, family, relatives, right? And number three is, he's talking to his own parents. His own parents. You see where I draw the line. You have moved on to a different line, I have moved on to a different line. I've got nothing to do with you. I've broken apart from you entirely. You got nothing to do with me, I got nothing to do with you. And there's hatred. Until you don't come on my line. He's not mincing his words, you know, we can meet somewhere in between. You come on my line or you out. And Nabi Sam said the same thing. La abudu ma ta'budun. Lakum deenukum waliyadeen. When they wanted that compromise situation, no. I don't want a compromise. Compromise, they came up with very sensible compromises. All you need to do is just pass your hands with a little bit of respect upon our idols. I will have no enmity. Don't speak out against our idols. Just pass your hands nicely upon our idols. That's all we want you to do. And you can do what you want freely. We'll give you all the wealth of Makkah. We'll give you the most beautiful of women. We'll give you the leadership. We'll crown you with the leadership, undisputed. All you should do, don't speak out against us. And just pass your hand over our idol. That's all we want. I ask you in this day, how many of us won't climb up that bandwagon? How many of us won't take out that bandwagon? All, nearly all. Say, no, you're compromising. You know, we look at the bigger picture, look at the broader picture, what's going to happen tomorrow, and we don't have problems in our own camp here. You know, so let's go for this year. Inshallah, it'll work out. They'll come to Islam towards us. But Ibrahim al-Islam has sent the trend, and Nabi Sam has supported it 100%. You with me or out of? But this in-between thing, that I don't understand. I don't want to hear this thing. A little bit this side, a little bit that side, cutting favor with everybody. I don't want that. Unfortunately, our enemy started this. With that conspiracy of diplomacy. See, hide big words, but you hide behind big words. Diplomacy. Be diplomatic, do your things, see how you're going to do it, work it out. So, you want to show yourself to be with him, and you want to be against him, that doesn't work out. How much are you going to hide? You stand for what you are. You are a Muslim, you live for Islam, you die for Islam. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. My prayer, my sacrifice, my life and my death, all for Allah Ta'ala alone, lillahi rabbil alameen. So when you're saying that on one side, then what is this question of diplomacy, moving on one side, the other side, third side and fourth side? Make up your mind, where are you? Where do you stand? So Ibrahim al-Islam did not mince his word. There's two things in Islam. One is called mudahanat, and one is called muasat. Muasat is an encouraged thing. Mura'at. Muasat is an encouraged thing. What is mura'at and muasat? Is you forego your rights for someone else. Right? It's a worldly thing. Alright, now mine. I'll let you have it. I gave him my rights. My personal rights. My rights, I can forego. I can forgive my rights. It's mine. I can do it. Mudahanat, that's haram. Right? What is mudahanat? Is I sacrifice some dini principle for your dunya. For the betterment of your dunya, then I just give in some dini principle of mine, I give it up. Just for the betterment of your dunya. That's haram. Not permissible. Just to see that the next person prospers, our relationship carries on, there is understanding and muhabbat between us. So I will give in to some of my dini principles for the prosperity of your dunya. That's haram. How can that ever be permissible? How can that be right? So this is mudahanat. We make ourselves distinct, clear. We don't have to get into a fight. We don't have to get into an argument. We don't have to be aggressive. But yes, what we are, what we stand for, we remain firm. Then we don't cross lines on that. See this, Mughal kings, most of them were not religious minded. But they were very scrupulous. Really, all of them were very scrupulous. On the scruples, they stood very firm. Alright, they played around, they entertained themselves, all that, they did a lot of things, right? But in the scruples, they were very firm. So they came into power, they retook power with some support from Iran, from the Shias. They got some power and they came, they reinstated themselves. So when they reinstated themselves, they had to show some type of consideration to the Shias. So they gave them some positions. So the Shias were trying to influence. In the process of them influencing, or they were dialoguing, Muslims and Shias. There's a Muslim alim on this side and there's a Shia dialogue and the king, everybody's around. So that Shia, he ran down one alim, one jurist. He spoke about him, but derogatory. When he spoke about him derogatory, now from the whole majlis, he chained him and threw him out. He actually chained him and he threw him out. When he threw him out, so now the wife is complaining, you know. Meri izzat ka sawal hai. It's my izzat, you know. It's my man. He's a Shia, we are brothers. When we are brothers, and then with disgrace you threw this person out. So he says, the statement he makes was too beautiful. He says, Jana jaan medium nake iman. My beloved, I have given you my life, not my iman. I can give you my life, whatever it is, my life I can give it to you, but my iman I will not give it to you. I'll never give it. You can forget it. So the love is in its place. Love and lovey dovey, all that will be in its place. But the iman is totally different thing. That I'm not going to affect. That I'm not going to hurt and dent my iman. For you or for anybody, I'm not going to dent my iman. So I don't say they were a religious class, but in the scruples they were very firm, they were very strong. You couldn't maneuver them. So now, this is the first sacrifice that he's making. He's been ostracized and he's happy with this. You know, to leave your hometown forever and to just on the basis of faith, I've got an enmity with you, I don't want to see you. You left and I've dumped your ways. Is it a small thing? From your childhood, your napkin friend, up to your adulthood, and you just thrown him just on the base of iman. Got nothing to do with you. My own household, my parents have left them out. So that can only happen with a person that is entrenched in iman. The love of Allah is overwhelming, is drowned in love. Only that person that is drowned in love, he can behave like this. But otherwise the person is weak. It's a no, diplomatic and diplomacy, a little bit of TV also, do this little bit also, be friends with this kafir also, this mushrik, mix up with women also. Islam is for all. Lately, there was an old discussion going on Dajjal. A lot of people are speaking about Dajjal, people coming in and asking about it. Is it a concept or is whatever? So anyway, we wrote up a letter to Sheikh Obama, Damat Barakatum, so he's quite an expert in the science of hadith. I don't think the world will have a person at that level. Maybe one, two persons, but at that level is very high. But to get it from him exactly, because he's now seen, the whole field is seen, he's seen the modernist, how he thinks, he's seen the extremist, how that person behaves, he's seen the person that is with absolute moderation, so he's seen quite a bit. And that is his work. Night and day, this is his work. So the ulama right throughout the globe, they will respect him. Whether it is India, whether it is Pakistan, whether it is South Africa, wherever, all the big institutes, they will respect him. And they'll quote him also, because of his expertise on the field. So when we wrote that whole article, that question, and sent it to him, so we were anxious to see his response. So in his response, two things he mentioned very clearly. See? He says, people generally say that deen is for all. Right? He says, yes, we accept this. We agree that deen is for all. We agree. No two ways about it. Yes, there's two sides to deen. One is the side of practicing and emulating. Emulating and practicing is for everybody. Right? But to give an opinion on deen is only the work of an expert who's been right very deep, rightly to the depths of deen. He's seen the whole thing and now he's giving an opinion that is worth what he's saying. But you don't have that level, then don't take a chance. Then he quoted a hadith, Man tatabbaba bi ghayri ilmin fa huwa daminun. You are practicing medicine, but you're not qualified enough. Then you're responsible afterwards. So he was really disgusted as what was going on and the type of lectures and bayans that are going on this topic here. He was very, very, very disappointed. Whole article, we've seen the whole article, but he was very disappointed. So it's easy to move away from the original, and people like everything exciting, something new, you know. And especially when the Muslim is being downtrodden from every corner, right? And someone coming with a thrilling bayan. So people want to listen to these type of things. This is around 2000, I remember. There's another fitna that started off with around 2001 or maybe just before that, around that time. So people were saying that Imam Mahdi is going to come out any time. This Ramzan is going to come out. Hey, the people had already booked their tickets. Some of them sold their properties, all booked to go, leave, live in Madinah Munawwara. Now, that whole discussion was taking place in town, in Durban, and some influential ulama also were participating in those discussions and all that. Now, the worry that I had at that time was, this is not conclusive evidence. What they're quoting from each of hadith is not conclusive. See, one is something that is coming from hadith that is conclusive. What is not conclusive? It's your own mind. Your own mind, you have come to this conclusion. It's not from the hadith, it's your own mind, right? It's a fabrication or an imagination of your mind. You have come to this conclusion. Now you are making it appear to be conclusive. So that can be dangerous, can be disastrous. Because if you're saying that it's going to happen around this time, and if it didn't happen, then the confidence and the trust that people have on hadith will be broken down. So that's going to be dangerous, that you're destructive, destroying the iman. So Allah Pak's fazl, I saw an article on the same topic. So tomorrow Ilyas, just translate the thing and make it a cover article on the Al-Hadi. Because if it was a secondary issue, you know, we could have overlooked it. But now when this is related to iman, your beliefs and all that, and people don't realize the importance, you know, when it's related to your iman, you need to have something that is conclusive. You need to have a nas, text from the Quran, which is clear, explicit, or a hadith that is overwhelming, you know, the chain of narrators, so strong, overwhelming, majority, you know, so many are talking about it. That forms your belief. Any hadith, anything, you can't just say this is my part of my belief. You can't just say that. You know, these people that have formulated all these principles, they put their lives into it. The day and the night, and the type of memories they have. I mean, they're listening to 1,000 hadiths, and straight away they memorize. Can you find a person like that? Can you show me one person in this world today, read out to him 1,000 hadiths, and straight away he can memorize it? So don't talk of being at that level. But they've gone through this whole thing, they've formulated all that. So our safety and security is just to go in conformity with them, with the Akabir. In every age, the Akabir, they followed a certain trend, a certain way. Just conform with them and move on. There's new things, new concepts that are coming up. It's all suspect. Something may be right, 10 wrongs and 1 right, but it's given in such a thrilling way that the audience is getting captured and they're going for it. Then after some 1-2 years, then you're like, hey, but we slipped here, man. Stumbled very heavily. But where it started from? Samma'una became like the Bani Israel. Samma'una lil kadhib. Samma'una li qawmin akharin. We want to listen to anything and everything. Anything. Here we got something from this tape here, that tape. Someone is telling this, someone is saying this. So we want to listen to it. So we lost that plot where we once upon a time went to those grounded ulama, aged, experienced, well grounded. You saw a consistent plan. Saw something new, so you refer to them. Saw something new, refer to them. Now, you just saw something new and you bought it. And when you went for it, and then after a year or 2 years, then you feel, hey, this was a hoax, man. This was a fabrication. Now you have to undo everything. So delete all that, what was stored in your memory, and bring about something new. So go back to the original. So the right way is, when you see this thing here, مَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مُسْتَنًّا فَلْيَسْتَنِّي بِمَنْ قَدْ مَاتْ. When you take up something, then don't just go with things that are floating around. Then see the style of the people that have passed on already. Do they, this new concept, does it conform to that? Does it agree with that? Or is something totally new, foreign, alien to what we've been taught all the years? Look at it properly. And if you can't make up your mind, then someone that is experienced, grounded, with a consistent plan, everybody considers him to be an authority, then you refer to them. That's the plan, that's the way we go on. But now it's I see this to be very interesting, very exciting, very juicy, so I don't latch on to it. So the first sacrifice, Ibrahim alayhi salam, his countrymen, his folks, his household. You think to give all this thing up is a small thing. It's a major decision. Major decision. Many people want to come into Islam, but you ask them, say, no, I'll be ostracized. So the family affinity so much, for them to just give it up is a very difficult thing. So they don't want to just give up that relationship. But they know that Islam is true, Islam is the religion, this is what we need. Now you see the man, I got nothing to fall back onto. No house, no wealth I got, but no, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, I'm throwing everything aboard. Just for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, stand firm. For Allah Ta'ala to say, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِيهِمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا, an excellent example, exemplary person. He won't just say it like that. Man must have been extremely exemplary, outstanding. In the galaxy of the Anbiya, he's outstanding. So Allah Ta'ala uses him as an example and instructs the Bism, ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. You also follow him. Although you are superior in every level, but the example that he's left is a very sound example. So you hold on, latch on to that example. Now, that's the first trial. Then the second trial, as he's progressing in life, the second trial comes in. Now, move on with your respected family and your child, infant child. Live in an arid, dry, uncultivable land. Live there. Now this is called Islam. Islam means you're giving in your unquestionable, unconditional submission. Submission, but you're not questioning. No conditions attached. In fact, a submission, cheerful submission. You know, I may agree with you, but grudgingly, you know, well, I have to do it now, I'm the company, so very grudgingly I'm giving in. So that was not the submission Ibrahim al-Islam gave. He gave it wholehearted. I need to do it, and I must do it. Why must do it? Because I must do it. I must do it, therefore I'm doing it. So it's no reservations, no grudgy feelings, a cheerful submission, by command of my Allah Ta'ala, I must do it, no matter what. So he's leaving out his town, settling in Makkah Mukarramah, leaves his wife, immediately the command is received and is moving on straight. Not even informing. He is so overwhelmed with love. You know, like you say, drunken in love. He's so overwhelmed with love. Allah, no, I can't break up this relationship. As a woman, she asks, and then Ibrahim alayhi salam says, that this is a command of Allah Ta'ala. Then she says, gladly you may go. Allah will take care. He will take, don't worry, move on. Being in the household of a Nabi, so the colors are rubbing on. See, so the household of an alim, the colors of that alim is rubbed onto the wife. What is the color? How is her dress supposed to be? What is supposed to be her conduct? What is supposed to be her behavior? What is her affinity with salah, with deen? Are these colors coming on? Are they rubbing on? Otherwise, it's half a job. You are coming, right? And she's taking a different line. So, are you enjoying all that? So that means there isn't that level of affinity and commitment. Because you're enjoying the wrong that she's doing. I was reading one malfuz of the Thawi Sahib Rahmatullah, and he speaks about the Western life here. Long malfuz, I'm just giving the gist of it, my own words. But he says, I'm warning you people. I'm warning, this is the essence of it. That you don't get into this Westernism. European Westernism. Because it's got like a magic pull. It's like shaitanic. It's shaitanic, you see. When you get into it, now see what happens. Just, you understand, try and analyze yourself. Anybody that went into Westernism, first thing happened, he gave up his language. Is it a fact or not? Did he give up his language or not? He took a foreign language, and he feels proudly English, proudly South African, proudly to be, not to be linked to his own. Where it came from? See, it's magical, it's a shaitanic thing here. It's not just an oil, to me it's a shaitanic thing, from the malfuz of Amutami, I'm just making my own analysis, but I read that. So there's a shaitanic pull in that. Because for a person to give up his language, everything, complete, can't even speak his vernacular, feels embarrassed to speak his vernacular in the presence of people, What will you see? Oh, there's a magic pool here. He's been mesmerized. He's been enchanted. He's been tricked. Don't you say that? He left out his language. He feels inferior because of his language. That's the first level. Then at the second level, whatever is coming from this foreign culture is dear to him. The clothing, the behavior, the ways, the mannerisms, everything that is coming from this alien culture is dear to him. His own things become very alien, doesn't like it. One person comes here, he's a little bit learned, office and learned. So he says, hey, this olden style clothing and all, the long dress and ijar and all, not for me. But I'm surprised he's a little bit understanding. He's just got the understanding of deen. Maybe not a very big alim, but he's got the understanding of deen. But what his take is, no, this is an olden style now. His alu bedar, I don't like all these things. So he's insisting that he wants his wife to be wearing a t-shirt and a jeans. A t-shirt and then she'll look attractive. But now this is with this type of clothing here. How will she ever look attractive? Now you see that this Westernism has gone so deep into him that everything of his deen seems to be unpleasant, unattractive. Everything of this jadu effect is permeated him. Everything. Got a jadu effect. Got a jadu effect is permeated him. So his thing is not appealing. And that foreign thing that is supposed to be thrown out, that is making an appeal to him. So doesn't this have a jadu effect on him? Think for yourself, does it have a jadu effect? Is it a mixture of Satanism or not? You're so deeply entrenched into this that this seems to be totally alien. And you know, many of these things seem to be so illogical. Look at the dress, right? She's wearing a tracksuit, jeans, and a t-shirt, right? Now, if this was a logical dress, right, if this was a logical dress, it was a good dress, right, the opposite would have been true, that a man then could wear his wife's dress, right, with a high heel, wedding dress, put on a scarf on the head, right, like a woman put on a scarf, put on a bit of bangles, right, put on high heels, and then with that ring and everything else, whatever, you know, earrings and everything. I ask you, would you ever come into a Jummah masjid on that type of attire? Would you ever come in? But a woman is prepared to do this. A man feels that this is stupid, it's foolish. So why does it become a foolish thing for a man and a very sensible, cultured thing, civilized thing for a woman? So there must be some satanic influence in this thing here, that you become so enchanted that you hook onto this and say, if anybody challenges this, then you want to bring 10 type of arguments to disprove the person. You want to break the person, you're going to disprove that person. So what will you say? Isn't there a mixture, an influence, satanic influence, that you're so entrenched into it? Aurat to aurat. Talk about a woman, even a man, within the confines of his house, he wants to behave like that. He's got his jammies, got a t-shirt, overall he'll have a kurta, something, but in a little bit of a more quiet environment, he wants to be like that. His original self, he doesn't think now, where my origins, where my roots are from, where am I coming from? Is there any semblance between me and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba Kiram? I want to be ranked up with them. I want to be grouped up with them. But is there any semblance? I like myself to be in a jammies, in that type of clothing. In all what's Western, I want to imitate. I want to have semblance with that. But then on the same talk, with the same breath, you want to say, no, you want to be with the Muslim. You like them. And what Ibrahim is saying, Bada bainana wa bainakumul adawatu wal baghda. This hatred and a whole resentment against you. Until you don't come on, I've got a hatred, dislike. He's saying, he's not mincing his word, absolutely clear. So in every level of your life, then this Westernism, this white type of life, seems to be appealing to you. I'm giving you a talk here now. Imagine if an American came here and spoke in that twang, right? You won't find any place in the masjid. The content may be the same, but just that he gave it in that accent with that twang, right? with that tang and whatever it was. So that Westernism, that Kufrism, is so deeply entrenched in our hearts that we like that. And something towards someone, simple old Pakistani Jamaat came here, right? Speaking in a simple Urdu, that won't seem appealing. The same content is given in Urdu. We may understand, most of us may understand, but that's not appealing. In English it will be appealing, but with a twang, it will overwhelm us. It will just throw us off board. Is it a fact or not? Do you see now that love of it? وَوْشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْعِجْلِ This drunkenness, this thing has come deep into the heart. To get it out of the heart is difficult. Your child is talking in the twang. See my child, see how she's talking, see how he's talking. And they can't talk in that language, talk a little bit of like an India style. Embarrassment. Just stay back. Don't come here. A little bit India style, it's an embarrassment, it's a disgrace. That accent, it's a praise, it's an honor. So, who are we aligning ourselves? Do you ever think now, who are we aligning ourselves with? With Islam and the Muslims? Or with Kufr and polytheism? Where are we aligning ourselves with? By Padiya Rahmatullahi, Allah Ta'ala bless his cover, full escape with Noor. Simple man, but a lot of things he would say, now I begin to understand. At this age, now I'm understanding what he's saying. He will say, أَخْرِجُ الْيَهُودِ وَالنَّصَارَى وَالْيَهُودِيَّةَ وَالنَّصْرَانِيَّةَ أَنْ قُلُوبِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ Not just Christianity, but even this Christian culture, this muhabbat of Christianity, of Judaism, etc. Take it out, flush it out of the hearts of the Muslim. He seems to be a Muslim, but his heart is entrenched in all these things. Whatever they're doing, their standards, their ways, their culture, even to the extent when you design your house, design like how they see. The furniture, like how they... How they sit and eat, you must sit and eat like that. How they prepare the food. So all your stuff is not appealing anymore. Everything that is conforming to that standard has got an appeal. A pizza now, got an appeal for you. Everything that is on that standard. Everything. That lazy type of life. Burger now, just get a bun from the shop and get that salami from somewhere, wherever. Now just make it hot. It looks so nice. There's no effort in that. Absolutely no effort. And that seems appealing to you. Then you discover afterwards that it's so harmful to you. Whether it was that buns that you bought, whether it was the meat that you bought and you filled it in, it was so harmful to you, you only discovered it later on. And this original food that you're eating, there's so much of good, so much of health benefits in it. You see, everything, it must just come from there, then that will just appetize you, it will have an appeal, it will have an attraction. But it's coming from somewhere, from an Islamic quarter. People that are more simple, dignified, respectful, they have got their culture, and they have passed it on to you. That seems to be very outdated. This thing seems... Their cars will appeal to you, their clothing will appeal to you, their language will appeal to you, their accent will appeal to you, their ways will appeal to you. I ask you, in the house of Allah Ta'ala, whatever I'm saying, is it a fact or I'm saying something out of this world? Are we getting attracted now? Everything of this is attracting. The shoe, where you got the shoe from? It must be something Western for it to catch you. You say that dafa clothes are alright. Hey, but this is the classic shoe. Classic shoe, you got this classic shoe. How much? 10 grand, 5,000. So immediately you attach a value to it. But what has got an Islamic thing? No value. Anas radiallahu anhu went into the Masjid of Damascus, if I remember correctly. And he saw that some of the people there, right, wearing a type of shawl, Taylisan. All of them wearing the same thing. So he expressed his resentment. Ka'annahum Yahudu Khaybar. They all look like the Yahud of Khaybar. Because this is their attire, this is their clothing. And you are wearing the same thing, so you all look like the Yahud of the Khaybar. Now, wearing that type of clothing, coming to the masjid, now these type of values have to be brought back to the people. See, before, there were jubbas in the wuzukhana, and there was a topi. A man would at least, in the house of Allah Ta'ala, in the presence of Allah Ta'ala, he will come with an attire that Allah Ta'ala wants to look at him favorably. Alright, don't mind, he did stupid things outside, but at least he came in my presence with some degree of respect. He wore a jubba, he wore a topi, and he came in my presence with a little bit of respect, with a little bit of shame, with a little bit of modesty and humility. Let me look at him favorably. Now he's wearing the tight clothing, backside is showing out, everything is revealing. And then in the presence of Allah Ta'ala, I ask, is there modesty in that? Is there shame in that? Is that humility in that? No humility, no shame, no modesty, no khushu. Then how do you want Allah Ta'ala to look at you favorably? I'm asking you again, that what I'm talking of, is it something out of this world or is it a fact? That we're getting entrenched so much, whatever comes from that side of the world, that we want to hold on to. We aren't thinking, alright, let me go, get back to my roots. How much I have drifted away, what else can I do, how much can I go back? What was the food of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? What was his style? What was the inside of his house? How did he live? That side of it, what was the inside of his house and how content he was, that we don't want to buy that. We don't want to buy that. Yes, some miswak doesn't cost much, you know. The miswak doesn't cost much, let's do the miswak. But this type of thing, let's go deeper, let's get more and more attached to the household of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. See, the whole Westernism, the whole concept is nothing, no level of materialism is enough, more and more and more. Let's carry on escalating until we hit the grave. That's the whole concept. And the style of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, content and be content and be content. So the day you got something, you're rejoicing, you're happy. There you didn't make the target, again you're depressed. Hey, I didn't make this. Supposed to get this, I didn't get this. So targets are always going up and you're always depressed. And here you're always happy. Hey, alhamdulillah. Within the heart of heart, you feel I'm close to be something simple. Alhamdulillah, we're closer. And if, for example, we had only dates and water, then I'd say, hey, at least one day in my life, at least I had some resemblance with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Only dates, illal aswadain. And in the Western life, if it was only dates and water that was available in the house, I'm sure 100% of the house will be in a deep level of depression. There'll be fighting, there'll be bickering. What's wrong with this house? Only dates and water, nothing else, nothing to offer. Now, in that way, I don't say go for it, but at least aspire for that. Enjoy that life. Aspire for that life. One day, inshallah, one day at least we will follow that. We can't do every day of our life. One day, only dates and water will do. See this? Pulls apart. This is going in one direction, this is going in another direction. Totally pulls apart. So now, this is the second level again. Then there's a third level of this imtihan, right? And the third level now the child is of that age, you know, we've got all that expectation in him. The child is about 13, 14, 15, you know, for the expectation that he could work, he can carry out all the chores with me. You know, he'll be my right hand. I can work with him. I can take work from him. So at the time when he's got that expectation, that hopes in the child, now Allah Ta'ala says, place that knife over his throat. Again, the shia, he's running it in, he's bouncing it off with his son, right? So that the son can get the full sawab, he can give the full cooperation. When he gives the full cooperation, that Ibrahim alayhi salam is not just himself in the sawab, he's got the full sawab, son is, for his full cooperation, he's got the full sawab. So he wants him to cooperate in the lesson of submission. We all submit, and with cheer, without any reservation, without any questioning, doing with cheer. Ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar, satajiduni insha'allahu min as-sabirin. I will conform, I will agree, insha'allah. Now when Ibrahim alayhi salam passed all his examination, then what happened? See, he showed himself true to Allah Ta'ala. What you want from your wife, you want her to be true, right? A friend, what you want, must be true, he must stand with you. That's what you want. At any time, you must stand for me, this person. No matter what the situation is, what does he stand with you? Is he with me? And if you've got a wife, she's only with you with the wealth, and when you're broken down, she's left. You say, no, it's not a wife, this. You want someone to stand with you at all times. So Ibrahim alayhi salam is standing with Allah Ta'ala at any given time. Get out of the family, out. Slaughter your child, slaughter. Leave your wife, These are three things that appeal most: your household, your wife, and your child, right? But so he's put into the test, the trial of love at the limit, you know. The trial of love and the trial of love at the highest. And he's passing right through, 100%. Allah gives him 100%. إِذِ اتَّلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُ. The examination of Allah Ta'ala is unlike worldly examination. Worldly examination, what happens? You learn a certain theory, right? Or you buy out something of some theories, some concepts, some things you buy out, and they take an examination, and you know it because of your memory, because of you being sharp and smart. So you know it, and you pass it, and they give you a degree. That's the end of a worldly examination. And Allah's examination is an examination of affinity, loyalty, love, honesty, truth. That's what he wants to see. That's what he wants to see. Are you honest with me? Are you true? Or you just truthful to me in tongue, just verbal. So I want to see how truthful you are, how honest you are. When you are poor, you are broken down, you're still with me. In the height of your glory, you're with me. Amongst your friends, you are with me. Broken away from your friends, you are still with me. So are you with me or are you with the world? Who do you stand with? Don't you understand you came from me all alone? You're going to go back to me all alone. So are you going to be with me all the time? So this is what Allah wants to see. Truth, honesty, loyalty. That's what he wants to see, faithfulness. Are you going to be with me? فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. Allah says, he came out clear. Prophet Islam did it and did it very well. قَالَ إِنِّي جَائِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. So Allah Pak says, now you passed, the loyalty was there, the example was there. See, now, this is again a mistake that we are making. The mistake is that we want our child to have 100% in his examination. His examination, he must be 100%, tajweed 100%, fiqh 100%. So we consider our progress, right, that the child has learned and perfected those concepts. This is now the mark of progress, that he knows those concepts, he knows those theories, so he is perfected, right? That's how we look at it. But is that the gauge, is that the criteria that Allah Ta'ala looks at us? Well, Allah Ta'ala is looking at us at a different level. He is looking at you, what is the level of faithfulness, submission, love, truth, honesty? This is what he is looking at you. That in any situation that you are caught up, are you giving yourself to me? So that's the examination of Allah Ta'ala. The worldly examination is how well you can by heart and memorize the concept, how well you can apply the concept, right? They give you 100% for that. But the examination of Allah is totally different. Are you with me? Do you stand with me? Are you honest? Do you have that loyalty? Do you have that faithfulness? So فَأَتَمَّهُمْ. When he completed that examination, so then Allah Pak says, إِنِّي جَائِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Make you an imam. Right. So he says, and my progeny as well, imams from my progeny as well. Right. When he said imams from my progeny, in other words, what he's saying, an imam in this context refers to an example, right? That people must emulate, it's a model, people to imitate, right? So, like you have made me an example for mankind to emulate, right? So, Allah Ta'ala, I request that let my children also be an example for people to emulate. So that my reward can continue. Not so that I can stand out amongst people. لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. What does it refer to? That this goodness that you have given, this must continue in the tongues of truth. Tongue of truth. In other words, people are remembering me. They're remembering me in good ways, for good reasons, for the right reasons. For my progeny to come, the same must continue. If it continues, my reward is continuing. But if it's only to me, only with me, then the good will start with me, it will die with me. But if it is going to continue, then I have a whole legacy of sawab. Succession plan for goodness, rewards, right? I got a succession plan. Otherwise, it comes with me and it dies with me. It starts off with me and it ends up with me. You don't want that type of plan. Do you want that plan? It starts off with you and ends up with you. Well, it must continue for generations to come. قَالَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. So then Allah gives a note of warning. La yanalu ahdi zalim. See, this Bani Israel, this whole story is coming from the Bani Israel. The Bani Israel, what was the problem? Anni faddaltukum ala al-alamin. Allah Ta'ala has given them a level of superiority, right? So they felt that the reason for us being blessed is the superiority of our lineage, racial superiority. That was the reason. We come from a certain race, so we've got the superiority. We can weigh heavier over others. Why? Because of a racial thing. So Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا يُمْ لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسُ. This thing doesn't work. All these things here, what you think about, doesn't work. So forget these things here. It's not the gauge of Allah Ta'ala. So forget the lineage, forget the racial superiority, forget all that. This context won't work. لَا تَنْفَعُ شَفَاعَةٌ وَلَا عَدْلٌ. All this, nothing will work. No influence, no intercession, no recommendation, nothing works. That's how we look at it. You know, someone will make a recommendation for me, someone will bail me out. So Allah says, hey, nothing will work. Forget all these things. So this is the basis of this Bani Israel going off. They felt that نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاهُ. We are the favorite. Why? Because we got the racial. So the pious will go straight to Jannah, fly straight. Impious, they may want to couple of gunas and all this way, that way. Then, لَن تَمَسَّنَ النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودًا. Few days we'll rot in Jannah, then we'll go to Jannah straight, throw into Jannah. So we got a clear passage. The gunegar and the good, all go, all to. So they felt that Jannah is exclusive for them. لَن يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا. Exclusive. See, exclusive rights. So Allah Ta'ala is addressing, who is addressing us? He said, you don't become like this Bani Israel. Why did he speak about the Bani Israel to us? He would have just said, oh, do this. But why did he speak about the Bani Israel to us? Why is he addressing us? He said, this is the reason for their collapse. So you don't fail like how they fail. They considered this racial superiority as one thing, right? This is how they went off. And the Christians, how they went off? See how this, the Jews, how they went off. How the Christians went off. Christians went off in this way. They felt that Christianity is a license for doing any wrong. Because all our gunas, Christ has atoned for all our gunas when he went to the cross. So no matter what guna you do, then he has taken all the blame for your gunas. So you got a license to do whatever you want. So what is the essence of Christianity? A license to do wrong. A license, permission. So I've given you all the permission to do whatever you want to do. So I ask you, does this qaida work in any world? I do the guna, is lumped onto you. You languishing in jail because of my sin. Does it ever happen? It's a biakli ke qaida. This is absolutely senseless. No matter do any wrong, Christ will stand for you. It's a bilkul bewakufi ki baat hai. So this doesn't work in any context. It doesn't work. In any plane it doesn't work. Any land it doesn't work. So this racial superiority is off. This concept of atonement, this is off. So Allah Pak says it very clear. La yanalu ahdi zalimin. You want this to flow in your family, but let your family understand this. That you see, you want some type of merit for Allah Ta'ala, some virtue, some reward, right? Some distinction for Allah Ta'ala. How does it work? People that have went off, wrong. Wal ushay fi ghayri mahalli. They might have did wrong things, upside down. They are not going to come on this position. To be able to dispense hidayat, they are not going to get it. Whatever they may be. But they want to dispense hidayat, they have to come on. Anyone that went off the track, they're not going to get the tawfiq, they're not going to get the grace to come on. So you want to come on, then get out of zulm, get out of wrong, get out of mischief, get out of transgression, get it off. Then I will give you a degree of acceptance. See how beautiful this line is. La yanalu ahdi zalimi. So this one examination is over, right? Now, thereafter Allah Pak says, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلِ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. Now, that examination was over. There's three examinations I showed you. It's all over. Allah Ta'ala gives him that leadership, right? I mean, he gives him the leadership now. And he tries him out, right through. He's been tried out. So then, he's crowning him, he's honoring him with the construction of the Baytullah. You've been the leader. Now, the direction that you will create, or you will rebuild, the direction that you will rebuild, it will be the direction for humanity. So you will start off this. You will start it off, and then it's going to be a Mathabatal Linnasi Amna, a center for mankind. Some Mufassiri translate a center, and some say a point of Sawab. What? One say, someone say Sob, and someone says Sawab. So it's a point of Sawab, a place to gain your Sawab. Your Namaz is in this direction, Sawab, right? Tawaf is in this direction, Sawab again. Hajj and Umrah is in this direction. So a point for Sawab. So if you just say a point to return, that's also right, because this is the only place in the whole world. The more you go, the more you want to go. I think there's only two things in the world it's like that. The more you do it, and you want to do it again. You do it, and you want to do it again. You do it, and you want to do it again. Just finish your Umrah, go for another one. Just came back, you want to go. He said, I missed out, I didn't do enough. So, in my understanding, there's just two things just like that. You do it, and you want it again. You do it, and you want to do it again. One is the Baytullah, and one is the Kalamullah. You recite it, you recite again. You recite and you will recite again. You hear anybody getting tired? Every rakat in every namaz, you're doing Surah Fatiha. Do you get tired? Every rakat in every namaz, you're doing that same thing, repeating. So it must be something there. That you don't get bored. The more you do it, the more you want to do it. The more you do it, you want to do it again. So now they've been instructed. Now you pass the examination. Pass all the tests. Now you want to be an example for the world. Everybody's going to face in that direction. So the first dua that he's making, Rabbana taqabbal minna, right? So there's two words. One is qabul, and one is taqabbal, right? When you say qabul, in other words, you're giving a fair price for something in exchange. That car is worth 1 million. I'm giving you 1 million, and I got that car, right? So I've given you the worth of the car. And I've taken the car in exchange, so that's qabul. That's why at the time of nikah you say qabil tuha. Pay that mahar, I say qabil, I gave you a fair price and I've accepted you, right? But when it's coming to Allah Ta'ala, then you're saying, Rabbana taqabbal minna. So what's the difference in the understanding? What's the difference? See, taqabbal comes from takalluf, right? So you are saying to Allah Ta'ala, you know, I don't have the full price. My price is defective. A little bit deficient of Allah Ta'ala. But takalluf is kabul kallo. But Allah Ta'ala just accept it. You know, it's not the right price. I can't give you the full price for this. Now, there's another perspective to this. The second perspective to this is that this dua, right? Is he serving Allah Ta'ala? What he's doing? He's constructing the house of Allah Ta'ala. But who is serving? He's serving Allah Ta'ala. Right? When he's serving Allah Ta'ala, then in gratitude he's asking Allah Ta'ala, accept this. He's asking Allah Ta'ala, you know what a service I've rendered for you, so I demand a reward for that. Is he saying that? So when I thought about it, I'm thinking to myself, you know, that Allah Ta'ala favored you with the khidmat of deen, then you need to pay a price for that, right? It's not your honor, it's not the honor of Allah Ta'ala that you are serving Him. It's your honor that Allah Ta'ala has accepted you. You don't think that you are rendering a service. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, therefore he says, that a teacher that is teaching deen, he must be appreciative that Allah Ta'ala has accepted him. Because if the child didn't offer himself, he didn't offer his heart for that education and instruction of yours, then the seeds of your education have all been lost. He's offered himself, he's made himself available. So your seeds, the seeds of your education are not getting wasted. Imagine if he wasn't there, nobody around. Right? Nobody's coming to your class. What if I'm so much of education, so much of ilm, everything you've acquired, they're all gone wasted. So who needs to be appreciative? You need to be appreciative. Hey, this child must come. This child must come. And I must teach him. So you see amongst our Kabil, right? The poor child also, he didn't come to class one day. So he'll go and first make his khidmat, medication, whatever he needs. And by the second, if he sees child is coming up a little bit, and then it is alright, you know, it's alright, you know, you stay in bed, but I will deliver the lesson to you in your bed. In your bed. The ustad is taking out all the time, the difficulty to go to the child's room and to impart the lesson to the child. So he considers this to be his honor. He considers this to be his blessing, that he's got that opportunity to pass that on. He doesn't consider it to be the child's honor and the child is getting some good, but it's his honor that he's got the opportunity to pass it on. He's not taking the other way. See now, how we're supposed to be viewing the opportunity to do any khidmat for deen. Look at Muhammad Ilyas Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, and his whole family lineage, right, from Wawaf, right? I mean, they started off this Nizamuddin thing, they started the masjid only. They didn't start tabligh as yet. So they started it off as a maktab. Poor people coming from Mewat, so they will help them out with the baggages and all that. Just come and learn something. Come and learn something. So no, ye to hamara maash hai. This is our livelihood, right? So how much you get for the day? Or 100 rands. Or take the 100 rand, come and learn here. He's paying 100 rand and teaching him, considering it to be his need. And after he's taught him, help him, whatever he needs to help him, then he's making 2 rakat namaz, Allah Ta'ala, tera shukar. You have blessed me with this opportunity to teach these people here.